Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Priscilla Torres.
Welcome to Ivy Podcast. I am your host, Priscilla Torres, and I am welcome today with the opportunity to speak to Phil Reese, who currently serves as the Director of Talent Acquisition for the Technology Department at Chewy.com. With over 10 years of experience in supporting technologies and companies, Phil has spent the last 4 years at Chewy.com truly building the talent acquisition strategy and processes to scale the technology organization to support millions of active customers utilizing the e-commerce platform. So Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So when we talk about the evolution of hiring processes in 2020 due to all the unforeseen events, can you share with us a little bit about what Chewy.com has been able to do to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah, definitely. And I think to start about what we've done, I think it's best to start of how it all started. So in 2020, I think it's safe to say that no one prepared for what we've seen and what we've gone through, and we mean anyone really, in the U.S. So it's been a very unique time. And I think the most important aspect that stands out of that is because no one prepared for it, it wasn't something where we had the mechanisms in place to address it. And I think Chewy is like many others in that regard, to have to pivot in the moment and pivot without any advance notice in order to try to address the market conditions and ultimately find a way to change the way that we operate day to day. So because it's unforeseen, we really never even discussed what it would be like if we had to pivot to this certain engagement that we're in now. So it's interesting. I would say it's kind of flipped everything upside down. And, you know, in terms of hiring and in terms of how we've approached it here at Chewy, I think the first thing that stood out was Chewy's 9 years old. You know, we're still a young company. So when this occurred, we were ultimately 100% on site as a culture. All of our resources set on site at our various locations, very collaborative, very interactive. One of our biggest selling points was the office, the environment, the culture, and how we all interacted. So to lose that overnight with no preparation was definitely a huge shock to our system and how to ultimately hire to scale and continue to be able to engage and sell the brand to our prospective candidates in order to get them to generate that same level of interest that they would have being on site and seeing the culture and seeing the energy and seeing what it would be like to work at Chewy. So it's interesting. I'll admit I was a skeptic at first. I, you know, remember sitting with my boss saying, who's going to take a job without ever coming on site at a company at the scale that we hire? I was like, we're in trouble. And I knew we could accomplish it, but at first I wasn't sure how. So, you know, we really started looking at quickly, and I mean very quickly, within days, how to create a structure that allowed us to be virtual in all of our interviews and create the virtual experience that ultimately serves as a substitute for what someone would get on site. So think of it as virtual tours of our office, pictures, different guides around our locations, the cities that our company or the cities of the locations, you know, sit within and figuring out how do we actually get this to effectively be set up. So, you know, then we had to say like, okay, what's the bandwidth of our interviews virtually? How can we create the same experience? How do we train our interviewers on virtual experience etiquette, asking questions and getting whiteboarding and coding things done virtually that were typically done on site and interactive. So it was a massive shift. It really changed the way that we operate in its entirety. So, you know, we're now 100% virtual. All of our interview processes, all of our onboarding, everything has been fully remote for several months. We'll be for the foreseeable future until it's safe to go back into the offices. But really we had to figure out how to pitch Chewy the virtual version. And it's something we just never had to do. But I think have responded quite well in figuring out how to engage candidates and the market. So I would say that's one big change. I would say others is really just being able to navigate the unknown. I think when I look at it in terms of hiring, I think it all starts with transparency. COVID was something no one expected. COVID's also something that no one really understands. So going through this process, we admitted, hey, we're in this all together. We don't have all the answers, and there's going to be some bumps in the road. And just like you, we're trying to figure out how to do it well and learning what that looks like along the way. So, it was transparency, but also seeking feedback in that process. So what are candidates like? What do they dislike in the onboarding process? What do they think we do well? Where are areas of improvement? So we can, really understand the voice of the customer frequently and adapt, change, our structure and focus to be able to accommodate and provide a sound experience and keep moving forward in hiring and providing a really good opportunity for candidates, many of which may have been laid off or experienced adverse conditions where it was extremely important to provide them security, safety, stability in that pursuit, because it's something that, was a really difficult time for a lot of them. So that's two. I think a few others, engaging with empathy. I think, Chewy had the, you mentioned the Chewy story, we had the advantage as an organization of being in an emerging space that was actually accelerated by the pandemic. So we're one of very few that benefited from a business standpoint in terms of our growth and opportunity, customer base. And it's a very fortunate position to be in. And e-commerce is definitely something that continues to emerge through this pandemic. But you also have to understand that a lot of people weren't in that circumstance. So I think naturally companies say like, oh, there's a lot of companies laying off, that could be beneficial for us. But trying to put ourselves in their shoes, they just lost their job. Their spouse may have lost their job. A lot of companies aren't hiring. So there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress around the process. So it's really just maintaining empathy throughout that process and providing a sense, a voice of understanding. And when we're reaching out to companies that may have been impacted in soliciting candidates actively, it's not about, hey, I heard the company's doing poorly. It's, hey, I'm reaching out just to make sure you're okay. And if you know someone that was affected, please let us know. We'd love to be of assistance. And it was sincere and it was transparent around what we're trying to do and really, help those in need, help the markets we support that are in need, that are suffering through some of the impacts of the pandemic and lack of hiring and or layoffs or anything like that. So, for us, it was really making sure that we took an empathetic approach and were very deliberate in how we messaged and how we interacted with this candidate pool in terms of how to in the short term help, but also build relationships and build more of a long term engagement model that, if companies are affected or if someone has anxieties as things progress, how we can re-engage and that they know we are there and know who to reach out to in that event and things like that. So, I would say to summarize, it takes a village. It was a lot of different efforts from a lot of different people in terms of the hiring process, the engagement process, the branding process, the messaging process, the compliance process, the onboarding process, like anything that touches just hiring end to end, HR, among many others, really a collective group effort and super proud of the way that the company responded. And our hiring has maintained the same velocity it did pre-COVID. In many ways it accelerated, as did our business plans and other things that are associated to hiring. So it's not been easy. I don't think anyone would sit and tell you otherwise. But definitely something where we've seen a really positive response. And it's interesting because it may be the future of how we hire as well. Right now it's circumstantial, but I think we've learned a lot through this process that could certainly be applicable as we move forward, even if and when the offices do reopen and things go back to normal, as we hope they do. So a lot of different challenges, and the interesting part is there's a new challenge every day. So it's just something we take with an open mind and try to do our best to be proactive and try to anticipate, where we can really focus and improve to create a really awesome experience.
And I have to say, I'm truly impressed, and I commend Chewy and your teams for really looking at this aspect and being able to look proactively on how you can engage and create that experience for your candidates, continue to keep the incoming resumes that are coming in and giving them a different experience, and being able to think about these out of the box ideas on how to incorporate your organizational culture within the recruitment and onboarding process, and putting all these things into consideration, I think are so important. And I'm sure your new team members that you've onboarded since pre-COVID have very much appreciated that, because it allows them to at least get such a well-welcomed experience, and it sets up that person for success. So I very much commend you and your team for all of your efforts there. Now, I'm curious, when we talk about remote workforce, and given that everyone is working remotely at this time and you're continuing to, you know, onboard and keep the same volume of open positions since you did pre-COVID, what are some of the strategies that you all have implemented to not only provide that empathetic leadership and you know, I guess, lead ourselves differently in the way that we did pre-COVID, but what are some of those other strategies that you guys have implemented that have been successful?
Yeah, great question. So it's interesting. Similar to hiring, remote, back to the hiring process, I guess, remote was just something we didn't hire that way. We didn't onboard that way. So again, we're an on-site culture. So remote was new for our leaders. Remote was new for our candidates. Remote was new for our team. So you take 17,000 employees that we have, and now you say, by the way, the majority of you, at least from a corporate standpoint, are now all remote. This happens overnight. Some have never worked remote. Some have yearned to work remote. Some have never managed remote. So, you know, it was kind of that inflection point of like, okay, we don't know what to expect, but we know what we need to do in order to make sure this is effective and works out. So that includes training, that internally, that includes training. That includes, you know, leadership development. That includes, you know, a lot of open forums for feedback, like I mentioned prior. So it's really looking at, like, you know, understanding strengths and weaknesses of our leaders in terms of how to manage remote, and then making sure we reinforce, like, the simple things of how to be a good remote support system in terms of, like, the expectations of, like, systems and, you know, onboarding and meetings and things of that nature, all the way to, like, development training. And, you know, continuing to drive growth, because it's a lot harder to do that remote. So I think first we had to look at that. The second is, from a hiring standpoint, anyone that's worked for me or works for me or with me, I always look at a matrix of risk. Like, what's the risk of doing something a certain way? In remote, we didn't have a choice, right? It's like, hey, everyone's going to go remote today, and now this is going to be the way we are for the next 6 to 12 months. And, you know, it's tough here strategically, because you have to think about it as, is it a circumstance? Is it a point of view? Or is it the way of the future? And it could be all three. And we're still not fully aligned to what that will be. But right now we're remote out of circumstance, safety, number one priority. So remote was, you know, no other option. But moving forward, how do we look at that? So that's still an ongoing dialogue. But in terms of how I view it, and in terms of hiring, you know, when I go back to the risk side of things, I look at it as, most people, when this happened for most companies, and the feedback I got was, this is amazing. It opens up my talent pool so much, I can hire from anywhere, which is true to an extent. Like Chewy, for example, we have operations in states, and we don't have operations in states. So for those states we don't have operations in, we can't tax in those states. So we can't employ in those states. So there are restrictions to our business model and how we operate to some of the talent pool that does limit, you know, our remote capabilities. So we have to be very compliant in that pursuit, and something that's extremely important as, like, the first and foremost. But when I look at, you know, the positive negatives, people say, oh, it opens up the pool, and it does give you more options. However, going back to before, we're an on-site culture, so we have to look at, what are all the impacts of remote, short, medium, and long term. So you also want to look at the potential risk. And I look it into, you know, when I look at hiring, it's, if we hire remote anywhere, like, what happens to these teams when we go back in the office? Do we have distributed pockets of isolated resources that are on their own? Does it impact the culture in terms of how we interact, how we operate? So looking at the risk side of it is, you know, hiring at a certain velocity and certain quality is very important, but then it's the continuity. It's how they operate together. It's how the teams are constructed. It's time zones. It's things like that that you have to really be mindful of, or you just have a lot of resources that are doing work. And that can be very damaging to your culture if you're not careful. So when I look at those sides of things, you know, I look at onboarding, you know, what is that onboarding experience like remote? I look at growth, career pathing. Do they have the same opportunity remote that they would have on site, or is there limitations to what they could be able to be exposed to or the opportunity, say for instance, to lead once the office goes back? I look at development. Is there opportunities to develop the same way? An opportunity, visibility, internal transfer, things of that nature that could come about as a result. So, you know, we look at it as like, it's an opportunity, but the question is right now, what do we do with that opportunity long-term? And one of the things I consider in terms of strategy and hiring is pulsing the market. Like, what are our competitors doing? You have some, like an Amazon, a Google, you know, Facebook. Some say like we're remote till X date. Twitter says we're remote potentially forever, but very arbitrarily. Then you have, you know, a Facebook, we're remote, but your pay is going to be contingent on your market. So they created some guidelines and structures. So for us, we're looking at what is the market doing? What are our competitors doing? And how do we position within that? Because you got to keep in mind, there are other resources that don't want to be remote. There are people like myself who yearn for the office to open back up because that's the way we feel we best learn. And that's the way we prefer. We're just all adapting to, you know, managing within the bounds of what we have. So remote is a very interesting topic. And I'm very curious, depending on how long the conditions of this pandemic and the, I would say, residual impacts last, to how that strategy applies here to Chewy directly and then applies to the market in general. But I will say this, I do believe strategically, this opens up a lot of conversations on flexibility, on working from home, on just being a human. And I think a lot of that's seen in virtual meetings with parents, children, pets. And it's just a reminder of the reality that we all live outside of work, and it kind of humanizes that. So I think in some ways, it's a really good thing, but, something we talk about quite frequently and are looking at a holistic way, to view it as a point of view for the entire company. And those conversations are still very ongoing, and something that, we feel is extremely important to get right, and not prematurely make a decision, but consider all the factors at play. As things progress and unfold here in our current times.
I completely agree. And you mentioned such great points of things that we could all look at and take into consideration as we're leading our staff and we're onboarding and we're recruiting and finding new talent in this new modern workforce, capitalizing on the digital age, being able to think outside of the box and take all these different components into concept, especially the point that you mentioned on the humanizing fact. And it's just being flexible and understanding that, you know, we sometimes don't believe that our staff can be successful in a remote environment. And given that we were all forced across, you know, the world, we were forced to quarantine and to learn how to operate from a remote basis. I feel that employers now have more confidence. Employees are now being held more accountable for their outcomes that they're driving. So I definitely agree and think that it'll be very interesting to see how, as the pandemic, you know, continues to evolve or end and we go back to what we used to call normal, I'm foreseeing that the new normal will probably be a long sustained normal. And what we used to have before the pandemic may not be what we're gonna continue to include on our long-term strategies. Now, I'm curious on what Chewy.com is currently doing with the topic of diversity and inclusion. How do you envision, you know, these new strategies that you guys have maybe implemented and how that impacts the overall hiring strategy?
Yeah, great, great question. And I would say this year, with everything that's gone on, I think this topic is absolutely on the forefront for every company in America, and probably in the entire world, frankly. And it's an important one. It should be, regardless of what's happened this year. And it's something that I also believe Chewy and otherwise, most companies would admit they're still trying to figure it out. And I think that is okay. And I believe most would also contend that the more you understand your internal environment, the more you understand what other companies are doing, the better positioned you'll be to do this successfully. And I like that it's such a hot topic across so many, because there's so many opportunities to collaborate and learn and understand and progress. And I think that's really, you know, ultimately what we're trying to do here. And I think what ultimately, you know, people are really seeking in terms of bridging gaps and becoming more inclusive and diverse and continuing to drive in these general areas. But to answer your question directly here with Chewy. So, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people forget Chewy is a fairly new company. We've been around a little over 9 years. So still relatively new in terms of, you know, tenure of the organization compared to many of our competitors. So for us, you know, we're still developing in a lot of these areas, diversity inclusion being one of them. And, you know, the 2020 events have led to a lot of dialogue and really good dialogue, sometimes uncomfortable. And I think those are the best conversations because they really start to dive into the issues and really start to bring them to light and to, you know, put them out there for us to understand and us to address. So, you know, in terms of what we're doing, so I would say like many companies of our size and tenure, we're in that discovery phase. And one thing I've appreciated as an employee of Chewy is instead of making a quick stance and announcement and things of that nature, which I think is very important, by the way, our teams and executive teams took very careful note of how we feel as employees. So understanding like the inclusion piece, like, you know, focus groups, surveys, like really understanding like where people really feel the company is now, where we may be lacking now, where we may be uncomfortable now, where we may be advanced now. So I think it was a really good opportunity to understand the voice of your employees and really understand what they want in addition to what they feel. And I think that's so important. So for us, we were not quick to run in a direction because we felt forced. We wanted to run in the right direction and be deliberate in how we did that and include the proper people who we feel can drive us to that point, whether it's current staff, whether it's future staff, and really building a program around this that will grow over time the right way for the right reasons. And I think very sensitively that you gotta do this right. If it doesn't seem sincere, if it doesn't seem genuine and it seems forced, I don't think this is successful. And I think everyone would argue would agree that we want this to work and we want this to continue to progress. So for us, it was a lot of transparency of like, here's the things that we have done, right? So like donations to, you know, various minority groups. It's embedding different opportunities to go to historically Black universities and, you know, try to build an emerging pipeline of young talent that we can groom and grow and really partner with that talent pool long term and build those long sustainable relationships. It's partnering with different, you know, groups and events and different external partnerships to be able to be present and seek to understand and be an ear to listen, but also hopefully soon a voice to be heard as well. So a lot of different opportunities to really partner, whether it's understanding, you know, and also looking into training, you know, diversity training, unconscious bias training, ERG groups, looking at the diversity of our panels that are conducting interviews, looking at the construct of our teams and how they are aligned and how they're diversified. So for us, it's really looking at the information that we have and really understanding the wants and needs of our employees and hopefully shaping directionally where we go in a response to that. So we don't yet have targets. We don't yet have a chief diversity officer, for example, but we're progressing pretty well in terms of making slow strides towards the bigger picture. And for me, I think it's great. And I get feedback. I solicit feedback quite frequently from all different, you know, minorities and all different types of employees on how they feel about the response to the organization and how they can have their voice heard. And I think it's an open environment here at Chewy. There is a platform, your opinion does count. So in that regard, I believe it's set up to where, you know, we do want to understand and we do want to learn and encourage people to speak up, which has been great. But, you know, I think over time we'll continue to develop programs, we'll continue to hire resources specific to these programs and continue to build out what I believe will be a really strong diversity inclusion strategy. But right now we're trying to be deliberate about that and really put those foundational blocks in place and find that right resource who's going to be that North Star, if you will, to drive where we go from here and be that voice for Chewy, both internally and externally moving forward. But to me, to summarize, I believe, or to end, I believe that it's all about just treating people with respect and practicing what you preach and being an example to others. And I think, you know, someone asked me the other day, what do you think the best way to hire diversity and really diversify the workforce? My response, treat everyone with respect and they'll want to work for you regardless of who they are. And I think that is something that is near and dear to me and my staff as we continue to hire great talent into the organization. But we want to make sure that they feel that once they're hired and they're supported and they have equal opportunity among other things. And I'm very, very confident that that is the case and will remain the case, but excited to see where this goes nationally, but within Chewy here for sure over the next 1-2 years and into the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. And as you know, we're at the end of 2020, what's next for Chewy? What do you guys all have planned? What's the market trends?
Yeah, man, I could go on for hours here. So I will keep it high level. In terms of where I feel we go from here, I think e-commerce as a whole, obviously Chewy being part of e-commerce, is a huge opportunity. And I think if you look at the growth and emergence of e-commerce through the Etsy's, the Wayfair's, the Chewy's, the arrow's pointing up. Overstock, for example, if you look at the stock prices, the growth in general. And I think if you look at the kind of secondary markets such as Walmart, Target, those that are digitizing a bit of their strategy to more of an e-com tilt than they had in the past, being more big box, brick and mortar, you're starting to see that shift in buying behavior. And obviously you have Amazon as the catalyst of all, and obviously well advanced in terms of e-com, but you're seeing the adoption at a faster rate. So for Chewy, what does that mean? I think it means more customers who are probably put in a situation during COVID to try us out when they're late adopters and they're very loyal to going to their store, but maybe they had concerns going to the store. Maybe they couldn't go to the store because the store is closed. So they were, you know, kind of forced to give us a shot and forced to give e-com in general a shot. And the way I like it is the emergence of the Walmarts, the Targets, and the more people buy online, the more people trust online shopping. So it may not be pet specific. They just go to Chewy. It may mean they just start buying online where they're traditionally for anything when they're traditionally not used to buying online. So I think you kind of push that late adopter into trying it. I think now the question is like, can you retain it? And, you know, to this point, I think retention, reputation, and the excitement around Chewy's brand is a huge selling point of Chewy and why we've been able to get where we have in the time that we have and why we compete with the likes of Amazon successfully and continue to grow the way we do. So I look at this as an opportunity to continue to capture more customers and continue to provide that phenomenal experience and expand what that experience is. And really grow by word of mouth, reputation, and just being a brand people can rely on. And, you know, I remember starting 4 years ago here and no one knew who Chewy was. You know, it was a relatively young company still basically in a startup phase. 4 years later, you know, here we are having this conversation. So it's crazy to see the growth. And I think the arrow is pointing straight up in terms of where we go from here. And I'm super excited about what that means. And, you know, in terms of the market, I think it's anyone's guess. I could speculate all day. I think we've talked about some of the topics like virtual hiring and remote diversity, inclusion. I think all those things will definitely continue to, you know, be hot topics I think everyone's yearning to understand when the world's going back to normal and if it goes back to normal and then what normal actually is. I admit I am one of those people. So to say we would have been here 6 months ago, I told you there's no way. So I can't speculate to where we'll be 6 months from here. But what I am excited about is all the things we've been able to learn and all the ways we've been able to build relationships and just kind of stretch ourselves and learn patience and learn kindness and learn how to, you know, be supportive if you can't be right there next to someone. So in a way, I feel fortunate for some of the things we've learned in 2020. But in terms of Chewy, in terms of e-com, in terms of the pet space that if you've seen on the news, has record highs in terms of, or I guess record lows in terms of inventory at shelters. It's phenomenal. And it goes to show that the pet industry, it has such mental health aspects and such companionship. And at a time like this, where a lot of people are sheltered, I think it's so important to note like the value of a pet and how, you know, our organization has been able to provide those pet owners with these experiences during all this and been able to connect kind of the emotional connection of our brand and really bringing that to life. And again, all the times I hear stories of, I love your company, or, you know, my parents love your company, or, you know, you really helped me out in a time of need, or I was really worried, you know, during this pandemic when things went, you know, south, but you were always reliable and got me what I need. Like, that to me is why I go to work. But it's super interesting to see, you know, where things go from here. But if you had told me 4 years ago, Chewy would be a couple hundred million in revenue now to a couple billion, you know, I would tell you that you're crazy. But here we are. And I think the runway of opportunity for Chewy moving forward in the pet industry and being, you know, emerging more towards e-com and e-com just growing in general is going to be something that people read about, hopefully in a textbook and look back and say, wow, like that was one of those companies that really set the stage and really changed the game. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of people join. We're a disruptor in a very emerging space, but very excited for what's to come and where things are headed from here. And like you, I'm very curious to what 6 months from now look like, a year from now look like. So we'll patiently work towards that, but really excited about what the opportunity in front of us looks like.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing that. And I always like to end with, you know, some advice for our young professionals. If there's any career advice that you can give to young professionals who are looking at breaking the ceiling, what would you tell them?
A couple things. Keep your head up. It's a tough time. I can't imagine. I keep going back to my nephews and my brothers and you know, anyone who's in school right now. I can't imagine my college experience being what a lot of people's has been recently, or high school for that matter, like missing some of these lifelong events like prom or, you know, things like graduation. Like, I just can't fathom that. So, you know, if I think about that, it's, you know, be optimistic. It's a tough time, but tough times create, adversity creates strength. So I think it's looking at the positive and the silver lining. And I think those that look at it that way will be stronger, better, and can persevere. And I think it's phenomenal to learn that at a young age. And to be able to understand that, like, it's not always fair. It's not always what you read about. And I know that people think, oh, you graduate college now, it's the real world. But the real world can be bitter sometimes, and it can be tough. So, you know, I think for me, it's keep your head up, and it's also to pay your dues. And I don't say that in a subordinate kind of way, but, you know, work hard. You start at the bottom. That's part of the process. And to get to the top, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of dedication. And you sometimes got to do things that aren't where you saw yourself in order to get where you see yourself in the future. And I think gaining that experience, even if it's not what you thought it would be, and taking that chance and taking that risk, like, I can't encourage that enough. And when I think about graduating, I graduated college 2007, you hit that recession in 2009, and it was brutal. I saved all the notes that everyone told me I wasn't good enough to work for them, and I'd never make it, or I don't have enough experience. And I was a kid who just graduated college, didn't know any better, didn't have an opportunity to have experience beyond jobs that I had taken that weren't corporate jobs. So what I learned from that I would still apply today is Don't let no set you back. Let no motivate you how to move forward. And you're going to hear more no's, young professional or seasoned professional. It's part of the job. And if anyone goes into sales, recruiting, anything that, you know, requires people and things like that, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to get no's quite a bit. And that's part of the game. But it certainly, I think, shapes you into, you know, someone who can really react and understand a situation and look at the positive and the silver lining. So for me, it's just, you know, work hard and take advice, listen, you know, don't be the know-it-all. You know, there's a ton of really strong emerging talent. Our campus program is phenomenal. And I see a ton of emerging talent, but, you know, find a mentor, find a leader, take advice. It'll accelerate that intellect so much, and to apply it to actually add value, I think is critical in understanding how to translate it. So it's a lot of things, but, you know, for me, I believe that it's, you know, finding the right fit for you. And that's may not work on the first job, may not be the second job. And I think it's okay to make pivots, to make changes, but, you know, never lose sight of what you want and what's best for you. And don't be afraid to take risk. I think if that occurs over time, it always works out. And very confident that even despite the challenges of today and some of the economic challenges of some of the companies not hiring, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm very confident it'll be here again soon.
That's wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Phil. This has been incredibly a wealth of knowledge. It sounds like Chewy.com is just staying ahead of the curve and are just really disrupting the workforce and taking all these different components that we discussed into consideration so that you're not only fostering a wonderful culture within your amazing organization that serves such a great purpose, but in addition to that, you're able to find such great talent as a result. So thank you so much for sharing all that great information. Any closing remarks before we end our episode today?
No, I just want to thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this, and I continue to learn from podcasts and other people's perspectives. So hopefully this was valuable to those that are listening and something that you can apply. But looking forward to finishing out 2020 strong and very optimistic for a very strong and positive 2021.
Absolutely. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for being on the Ivy Podcast today.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a minute to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. We'll catch you in the next episode.